Would you please just remain standing for the reading of God's Word? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs today, Proverbs chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You may be seated. This morning I would like to begin four messages on the family and dealing with family relationships. And today I'm going to talk to the husbands. All right, ladies, you can listen in today, but give your husband some slack. But your turn is coming. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to turn and I'm going to address the ladies. And today I want to talk about how, husbands, you can be your wife's knight in shining armor. And then in a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to the ladies. And so how you can help your husband become the knight in shining armor that you want him to be. And maybe you are the cause of some of the rust on his armor. And we want to tell you how you can solve that problem. I also want to speak to the young men and the fathers and how you can help your sons grow up to be knights. And then I'm going to have a message directed at the ladies, how you can be the fair maiden that a knight in shining armor would desire to have. So those are some of the things we've got planned in the next few weeks. I touched on some of these things in Jim and Annette's wedding just real quickly. I want to expound on those today and in the weeks to come. In Proverbs, we are told that we are to chase after things with all of our might. And one of those things that we are to chase after is understanding. And so today I want to help us to understand the heart of our wives so that we can be more effective. In fact, we're going to pause right here because it says there in verse 3 that we are to cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. So we're going to take that literally this morning. And I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. You just repeat after me a very short, simple prayer, asking the Lord, crying out to the Lord for understanding. Think that if we have understanding, if we understand our wives, if we understand our children, we will be that much more effective as husbands and fathers. So would you just pray after me this morning? O Lord God, God of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding, I cry after knowledge. I lift up my voice for understanding. Pour them out to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. When we have understanding, that understanding motivates us to do what is right, beyond simply knowing what is right. For example, if I tell you that there is a family that has started coming to church and I want you to be nice to them, you will be nice to them. But if I tell you that this family is going through a very difficult time, the husband has been laid off from his job. They don't have any food in the house. The children are going to bed hungry every night. Your compassion will be fueled and you will do whatever you can to help that family. You see how understanding is important for us as fuel to make a commitment to do our duty and to reach out and help others. And with that in mind, please don't let me forget. We need to take an offering this morning at the close of the message for Nick. He is struggling with his school bill, so we want to help him this morning. So don't let me forget that, all right? I want to share with you, at the beginning of this message, though, some general differences between men and women. Just some general differences between men and women. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, it gives us Adam's life purpose. Adam was put in charge, as you know, of the garden to tend it and to have dominion over it. But Eve had a different purpose. She was created for a different reason. And in three verses after stating Adam's purpose, something happened. Remember what that was? God said that Adam needed a helpmeet, a helper. Somebody who would be suitable for Adam in his calling. Was Adam lonely? No, we don't really have any indication that he was lonely, but he was alone. And he needed a helpmeet to help him in his calling. And here's the first general difference between men and women. Men tend to be accomplishment-orientated, and women tend to be relationship-orientated. Men tend to be more focused on accomplishing things. Women are more focused on relationships. Adam would find his significance in accomplishing his call from God. But Eve had another purpose. She was there to assist Adam in his calling to make him more effective in it. She was looking for relationship. Adam was concerned with things out there. Eve was concerned with Adam, with things right there. A man and a woman meet, and the woman thinks, oh, a man who will protect me and talk with me and will meet my intimate needs. Young girls grow up thinking about marriage and thinking about the one who will be their knight in shining armor. But a man thinks, oh, a woman who will be with me while I'm getting my needs met out here and while I'm establishing my career. So he's looking for companionship. And you ladies get hurt early on in your marriage because your husband doesn't want from you what you want from him. He doesn't seem to need the relationship the way you want the relationship. And often very on, in the first year of marriage, the feelings of the wives are hurt. In fact, I'm borrowing this from Reb Bradley. He said, here is a woman's vision of marriage. Here is the husband coming home from work. He walks in the door and he throws down his hammer or his briefcase. He takes his wife in his arms and he says, oh, honey, how I've missed you today. Could you tell me how your day went? Were the children good for you? Tell you what, honey, I'll draw you a bath, and while you soak in the bathtub, I'll finish the dishes. On the other hand, here's the man's vision of marriage. He's coming home from work. He walks in the door. He throws down his hammer or his briefcase, and it ends there. Men have no thoughts. Men have no dreams. No, what he does is he says, honey, I'm home. What's for supper? You know, what's the? I'm hungry. And that's why we have problems in marriages. See, the wife is, she's anticipating a heart relationship, and the man is interested in companionship. That's why wives say things like, you don't need a wife, you need a maid. You know, why is a dog a man's best friend anyway? I always thought that men get ripped, you know? A man's best friend is a dog, but a wife's best friend is a giant, you know? But a man and his dog, why does he like a... Because the dog is there for companionship. That dog sits at his side, and it lets him pet him whenever he wants to. Whenever he wants to pay attention to, the dog is there. You just lay here and let me pet you when I want to. Here's the second difference between men and women. Men are content with companionship. Women want intimacy. Men are content with companionship. Women want intimacy. Wives say things like, my husband doesn't care about me. He doesn't discuss things with me. He doesn't love me. He's just into his own life. He's like my oldest son. And the husband says, I don't know what she's so upset about. We would have a great marriage if she would just back off, settle down, and don't demand so much. So she is wanting something. He's saying, I don't know what there is to want. I think we have a great relationship. Because men find value in their life purpose. Men find value in fulfilling their job. But a woman finds her sense of significance in her relationship with her husband. Husbands, your wife finds her significance in life. She finds it in you. That's what life is all about for her. Her relationship with you, her relationship with children, if she has them. This is key. You please need to understand this. She's not getting her needs met elsewhere. You might be, You might be getting fulfillment from your job, from your work. Your wife only gets fulfillment in her relationship with you. Let's pretend, guys, that we're roommates this morning. You fix me a cheeseburger, and I ask you a simple question. Where did you get the meat? You'll answer, well, I got it at Super Value or Marketplace or wherever you shop. But when you're married and your wife fixes you a cheeseburger and you ask, where did you get the meat? She says, why? What's wrong with it? Doesn't it taste good? See, she's looking for a sense of value. She didn't just cook you a cheeseburger. She invested her life and her heart into it. See, when she prepared the meal, she was investing in the relationship. You want a quick tip, little guys, that go wonders, and it's very easy to do? Just after the meal, say, honey, that was a lovely meal. Thank you for preparing such a delicious meal. That will go a long ways. And you know what? We know these things, don't we? But sometimes we have to relearn them. Our wives are investing in us, and we are going the companion route. Women are into intimate friendships. That's why in public places, women can never visit the restroom by themselves. It always takes at least two. It's not a single person activity. But guys, we don't need that. If we're out to dinner, and I stand up and I say, I'm going to the bathroom, does anybody want to go with me? It's funny because it's true. You would look at me and say, no way. The next difference between men and women, generally speaking, is men enjoy romance, but women need it. Men enjoy romance, women need it. We like romance. It's fun. It's what we use to catch the fish. But after we got married, we stopped it because romance was a means to an end. We might have used candles and soft music and fine dining. We want to show her that we treasure her. And the woman thinks, oh, here is the man that will treasure me my whole life. But once we have gotten her, we stop. See, the romance was to get her, but now that we've got her, I mean, why leave the bait on the hook once you've caught the fish? And men, our wives feel defrauded or cheated in a sense, because when we ask them to marry us and they say, I do, they are basing that I do on all that we have been. If you've never read the Book of Solomon, you should. It was written by a man, but almost the whole book is written from the perspective of a woman. Solomon's bride, she was looking for romance. So men, I'm saying to you, let romance continue in your marriage. How often do you date your wife? Take your wife out on dates. Show her that you can still be romantic. You know, I've done dumb things in my marriage, and it took me a lot of years, and some of these things I'm still working through, and some of these things I know, but I just forget. My wife will want to talk with me, and she'll say, she used to say this, she doesn't say it anymore, let's go for a walk. And I said, why go for a walk? Why can't we just sit down at the kitchen table and discuss it right here? Why do we need to go out for a walk and discuss things? I didn't realize that she was wanting me to invest in our marriage. And it was important for her, and it was a special time for us just to go on a walk. I didn't realize it made my wife feel special. Another difference is that men tend to be more objective. Women tend to be more subjective. Men tend to be more objective, women tend to be more subjective. This is true because women, this comes as no surprise to you, women tend to be more emotional. But because of that, they are far better at nurturing. The subjective nature of a woman's emotions are part of her nurturing makeup. Mommies kiss owies. You wouldn't want a man to mother your children. Why? Your child breaks his leg. This really happened to a friend of ours. The child broke his leg. They were off somewhere on some outing together, and the child fell quite a distance into a hole and broke his leg. You know what the dad said? Ah, come on, son, get up. Be a man. You know what? It's not as bad as you're acting. Just come on, you can walk. We got home. Mother realized there was something seriously wrong. Took the child into the emergency room, and the child had broken his leg very seriously. But we say, come on, get up. It didn't hurt that bad. When children are young and they hurt, they'll yell, Mommy, Daddy. They'll yell for anybody, help me. But when they get older, they start yelling for Mommy. I want the nurturing one. I'm in distress here. I want Mom. And God made women like this for design. Second point of the outline. How to be your wife's knight in shining armor. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And then the wife, see that she reverence her husband. That's for another day. How you can be your wife's knight in shining armor. Number one, husbands, you are the heads of your home, verse 23 tells us. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Headship means the husband must assume responsibility for the home and for the family. We are to be the head in the way that Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the body. It means he gives life. He gives direction. He absorbed the blows even to the point of sacrificing his life. He made plans for the future. He was a good shepherd. The head makes plans and sets goals. A leader is going someplace. He's out front. But he lets those under his leadership know where he is going. I mean, what good is a ship with no captain? It survives, but it goes nowhere. How secure do you think the crew feels in a ship that's not going anywhere? Just staying in the same place, tossing on the sea. Well, men, we give security to our wives when we know they know that we have a plan and we are going somewhere. And then shepherd your wife and children. Take and evaluate your flock. Do you know the condition of your flock? Many men come home at night and they say to their wives, what's on the agenda for tonight? The wife becomes more of a recreational director. And your kids might ask you, Dad, what are we going to do? Or Dad, can I do this? And you say, go ask the one in charge. Don't ever say that. You are the one that's in charge. You are the head of your home. And then assume responsibility for your home. Our wives are stressing out because they are carrying things that are not their responsibility. Things that God meant for us to do, for men to do, for husbands to do, our wives many times wind up doing. But you know what? Your shoulders are broader. And if your wife is stressed out, it could be because you have dropped the ball somewhere and she has picked up your responsibility, something God never intended for her to have. And now she's worried about those things that are your responsibility. Some men joke, yeah, my wife has 5 kids and I'm the 6th. What wife can have an intimate relationship with a man who acts like a son? So if your wife is stressed out, stop and evaluate. Is she doing something that is your responsibility, should be on your shoulders? And then a husband must be willing to sacrifice and inconvenience himself for his wife. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's a difference between fondness of affection and sacrificial love. My wife likes to have her hair brushed. This is one of the things that she enjoys. Early on in our marriage, I would do it for about 5 minutes, and then I would quit. And she would say, oh, honey, don't quit. It just feels so good. So I figured out what I'd do. I would brush her hair for 5 minutes, and then I would just start brushing the same spot over and over and over again. Or I'd let my hand go wimp, you know. Oh, I'm in obvious distress here. My wrist is killing me. And she would say, you can quit now. And I go, got out of that one. But I learned that I need to sacrifice and inconvenience myself for my wife. And when I brush her hair, and when she doesn't ask me to, and I just pick up a brush and I brush her hair, I am communicating to her that she is of value, that she is worth it. And so we are to be selfless in our love for our wives. Let me give you some tips here. Loving her takes time. Loving your wife takes time. Christ, though, perseveres with us. And then loving her may not be comfortable for you, but that's okay. Jesus experienced great discomfort for us. And we are to love our wives as he loved the church. So we might do things that are not comfortable for us, but it speaks to her. And then sacrificing for her communicates to her value. Next, nurture your wife spiritually. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The call for your wife's spiritual nurturing points out that there must be a need for it. Our wives need to be nourished and nurtured spiritually. Make sure your wife is in the Word. Make sure that she's being taught. Take time to pray with her. I don't know why this is such a difficult thing, but it's always been a struggle for me. Pray with her. You would think that would be a natural thing to do. But I think most couples probably don't pray together. I won't ask for a show of hands. Pray together. You know, you have that relationship, and the Lord tells us through Peter that the reason sometimes our prayers aren't answered is because we're not living in harmony with our wife. But I would think the opposite would also be true then. If we are living in harmony and we pray together, the Lord would answer those prayers. And make sure she is in fellowship. Sometimes mothers come to church and they have to take care of the kids. They miss out on the sermon. Get her a tape. Sit down and listen to the tape with her. I hate to see anybody miss a service because it's a meal. And there might be something that you're going to need sooner or later in there. So make sure your wife is being fed, nourished spiritually. And then husbands need to nourish, protect, and strengthen their wife. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Keep them healthy. Your wife is vulnerable. She is the weaker vessel. And men tend to be more powerful with words, but that doesn't mean that she is powerful. She needs covering. Often their verbal attacks are cries for help. Here's a real good tip. I've just learned this one, believe it or not. Don't correct her when she needs compassion. Don't correct her when she needs compassion. When she is all stressed out, don't say, ah, oh, come on, honey, just trust God. Now, if you were to say that to me, I would say, oh, you're right. You know, I really just need to trust God. What was I thinking? Has anybody ever found that to work with their wives? Instead, you show compassion and say, honey, I know that things are rough for you. And you just tell me how I can help you, and I'll do whatever I can to help lift the burden that you're feeling. And you know what? She will come to the point and she will say, I know I just need to trust God. She knows the right things. She just needs some compassion. Jesus showed the character of compassion. A wife will ask a question or make a simple statement. It's not that they want to argue. It's that they've been hurt. Here's a classic one. A classic one is, honey, you're never home. The husband gets upset and he says, what do you mean I'm never home? I was home 6 nights last week, and he starts defending it. Then she says, but when you're home, you're not really home. And you think, oh man, here I've just given her all these facts. I've just proved that she was wrong. I just can't win. You see, you can't argue with a wife over her feelings. We can't do that. Again, you will find that that doesn't work. The real issue that she's saying is, I miss you, and I just want to feel loved. She's not trying to start an argument. She's not trying to attack you. She is just letting you know that she misses you, and she wants to feel loved. See, if we could get past our defensiveness and instead show compassion, we would succeed with our wives. So the next time your wife says to you, honey, you're never home, don't start giving her the facts. Instead, say, I'm sorry that I've neglected you and not cared for you like I should. I miss you when I'm not home. I feel bad when I'm not able to be there. And you'll win your wife. Now, ladies, I told you you could listen, but try not to hold your husband to these things, all right? And give him a chance to work on it. Because some of the guys might be sitting here, you know, if I do that, my wife is just going to say, you're only doing that because Pastor told you to do that. So cut them some slack this morning, all right? And then don't belittle your wife for her fears. Don't belittle her for her fears. Rescue her from that. Again, what we usually do is give her all the reasons why she shouldn't be afraid, but instead offer strength and protection. If she hears a noise in the middle of the night, you get up and take a look. Just make her feel good. You go search the house. Grab your baseball bat or whatever it is you take with you. Don't say, oh, it's just your imagination, and roll over and go back to sleep. We miss many opportunities. When our wives are the weakest, that's the time we can show ourselves to be real special. And then husbands need to cherish their wife. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The word cherish there means to extend the wing and draw in. That's a good picture. That's what we are to do to our wives. Extend our arms and draw them in. Draw them close to us. Here's some tips that you can do to cherish your wife. Affirm your wife's value to you in front of the kids. Let her know how special she is when the kids are around, when they're listening. Be careful of sending her the message that she's not worth it. Do not defend yourself when she accuses you of not loving her. Instead, express compassion. Don't give her all the facts to prove she's wrong. You know, if your child comes to you and says, Daddy, do you love me? We just don't start giving them the facts. Well, I did this for you. I did this to show that I love you. No, instead we take them up in our arms and we say, Daddy loves you. You are special. You are one of the most important people in the world to Dad. And our wives come to us and wonder if we love them, we start giving them the facts. No, we need to do the same thing we do with our children to them. Honey, yes, I love you. And affirm that love to them. And then the husband must be a secure pillar in the relationship. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. The call to be joined shows our wife's need for security. The call to be joined shows our wife's need for security. The husband must treat his wife tenderly as the weaker vessel. We are not to be harsh and never threaten divorce. To join together means literally to be glued together. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. Again, reminded in the book of Proverbs that we are to chase after things with all of our might. Husbands, your wife is the thing that is worthy to chase with all of your might. My prayer is that God would give you understanding, that you might understand her heart. To cut through right to the heart so that you could be more effective in your role as husband. So men, I just want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of the men here today, all of the husbands. I pray today that just this little bit of understanding of their wife would motivate them to do what is right. That they would go beyond just simply knowing what is right. But because of understanding today, their compassion for their wives would be fueled, and they would make the commitment to do their duty. Give them grace, give them help. May they see blessing as a result of putting into practice these few tips this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your heads are still bowed and your eyes are still closed, there is one who is the husband's example that stands out above all the rest. Even though he was not married, he showed us what it was like to be married, because he gives us the relationship of a husband and wife and compares it to a church. Jesus loved his bride, his church, so much that he not only was willing to suffer discomfort, he was willing to die for her. You will not find a greater example of love than Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never received him as your Savior, I just ask you, what are you waiting for? He loved you so much that he gave himself for you. You talk about a knight in shining armor. He's that knight. You were headed for death and destruction, but Jesus came along and he died that you might go free. He died that you might live. So if you're here today and you've not received Jesus as your Savior, would you just raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you this morning. Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to receive Jesus. I trust you all have then. And I would just encourage you to look to him as your example and to live by his example. Amen. You can look up. Can we just, in closing, sing the chorus, Jesus loves me, this I know. It's a real simple little chorus. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Once again, the offering's
still. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
If you're here today and your wife and your husband was not able to be here today, or if you know a man that could use this message, I would just encourage you to sign up for the tape today, and I will do this. I will pay for all the tapes that you request today. I personally do that. You give them to whatever men you think need those, and you just say, Pastor wanted me to give this to you. Pastor wanted you to have this. All right? So it's not coming from you. It's coming from me. All right? So you do that today. Just sign up. I will personally pay for all those that sign up today. I believe the message is that important for men, for fathers. All right? God bless you. You are dismissed.